In Paul's writings, it's just amazing how much he speaks about being in Christ. In Christ. What does it mean? I wonder if you just, what does it mean for us as individuals to be in Christ? To be found in Him. What does it mean for us as a church to be in Christ? What does it mean for us as two churches, two ministries, that when El Calvario came to be with us, we said right from the very beginning, we don't want to just have a rental relationship. Absolutely not. We want a relationship where we are in ministry together because we are found in Christ. Today we're going to continue this exploration of what it means to be in Christ in the book of Colossians. Would you turn to me in your Bibles, please, to Colossians chapter 3. If you're using the Bible in the rack in front of you, it's page 1167. You know, once again, when we talked about dedicating a day for humiliation and fasting and prayer this past week, we didn't say that we couldn't go on with life. It didn't mean you didn't have to go to work. It didn't mean you didn't have to carry out other responsibilities. It just meant to dedicate that day and really be very prayerful that God would evidence His presence in our lives. And not, I mean, He's always all around, but that we would be more and more aware of His presence. And when we are aware of His presence, when we are, things happen, and we are drawn to pray, to speak to Him when we really are aware of His presence. Do you think that's true? I'm really aware. It's like you can hardly help but speak to Him versus ignore Him. No, we wouldn't do that at all. So today, we're going to talk about flying His colors. There's an old song that we used to sing in youth group. It was, His banner over us is love. But it's really because of who He is and His presence here with us. That presence makes a difference in what we think, say, and do. I'm going to read from Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading at verse 5. So I want you just to look back to that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Put to death, therefore, those of you who are in Christ. Those of you who are in Christ. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these things. You used to walk these ways in the life that you once lived. Verse 8, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these. These things like anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other. Don't lie to each other, since you've taken off the old self. You've stripped off the old self like dirty clothes. Like all that stuff that just has made you look and smell filthy. Since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is in Christ, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. This is you if you're a believer in Christ. This is me. Here, there is no Jew, no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, like Scythian, they were the worst, the most feared of all the barbarians. In Christ, He changes people like Scythians. There's no Jew, nor no Greek, no barbarian, no circumcised or uncircumcised, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, because of all this that is happening in Christ, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself in compassion. These things, clothe yourself in these things that are like Jesus. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which is like a belt that holds it all together. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or in deed, in actions, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Lord, we commit our study to you right now and ask that you would open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things in your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. After who you are in Christ is what you've taken off and what you're putting on, Paul says this: let the peace of Christ rule. You know, sometimes our team wins, and they do this. What do they do if your team wins? They run off the field doing what? Okay, we're number one. Another thing we do is we say, we rule, we rule. You know, the word rule is actually an athletic term. It was a term for the athletic contest. It was a word that in today's language, it would be, let the word of Christ umpire your heart. Let it be the peace of Christ which changes things in us and for us. The peace of Christ blows the whistle and says, stop it. Don't go down that route. Blows a whistle. It says, time out. An umpire acting and really taking charge. You know, I've been watching umpires now. I was not a baseball fan, but now I go to baseball games all the time. And it's really something. It is really something when you see an umpire at the children's league level, when they really take their job seriously. And man, every single action is pronounced. And it just kind of kills me when one of my grandchildren is up to bat. And, you know, his whole ego rests on this. On third strike, you know what that guy does? You're out. He says that to my grandchild. You're out. Can't you just let him down a little easily? Just a little easy? No, you're out. Well, Paul just grabs this word. It's actually such a soft word that the peace of Christ rule. In your heart. Rule. Time out. You're going down the wrong road. Would you just accept the peace that God provided for you? Peace with him. You're trying so hard. You're trying so hard to prove to me, God would say, you're trying to prove to me your worth. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Shirley prayed this morning when she prayed. Lord, we know we don't. It's in essence, she said, we know we didn't deserve it, but you saved us. We know we didn't. Sometimes we try so hard to save ourselves. And God blows the whistle and he says, will you remember who you are in me? May the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. That's peace with God. But there's also peace with our circumstances. Our circumstances. And it comes from our peace that we have in Christ. It's pretty tough when you're facing a circumstance that is just, it seems like I'm going to be consumed by this thing that is eating me up. The health, the well-being, physically or emotionally or spiritually, of myself or somebody else that I really care about. And it's like it's all consuming as to what's happening right now. And Paul says, let the peace of Christ blow the whistle and say, let's look at the game film right now. Let's look back and see what's happening here. And I want you to remember who Jesus is. I want you to remember the way he loves people in the midst of turmoil. I want you to recall what he's done in your life. And right now, you might feel like he's not listening. You might feel like he doesn't care. But remember all the ways he showed you that he cares. Remember all the times he sent somebody else who also knows him to kind of maybe gently blow that whistle and say, you need to just simply lean on Jesus. And I'm going to pray for you right now in the middle of this and pray that you will lean, that you will rest in him. Sometimes pain, physical or emotional pain, can almost send us into panic. Sometimes it can send us into rage. But the peace of God overwhelms. And Jesus, who bought that peace, steps in and calms our fear and the agony of our soul. But there's something else that Paul is speaking about as well in this. Look at this. And let the peace of Christ that he established with the Father and in our hearts, let this rule in your hearts, plural. Let me go on. Since, as members of one body, you were called to peace. Paul is speaking to an individual church. It's just a local church in a town that I don't know if he'd ever been there, but he didn't start this church, and he's writing to them, having never met any of them, and he's writing from prison. And he said, in terms of your relationship with each other, you need to let the peace of Christ rule in your relationship to each other. That's what he's talking about here. Since members of one body, why should we let peace rule or reign? Because as members of one body, there are times inside the body of Christ. Whether that body of Christ is one of the smallest units, the unit of the family, your family and mine, or maybe it might be in terms of the greater body. Maybe it might be a small group of you. Maybe it might be peace that might be presently disturbed between men and women, between young and old, between one aspect of the ministry and another, and it's turbulent. It is turbulent. And people are speaking, and they're saying things and thinking things that they ought not to be saying and thinking. So whether it's the church or just a small unit of a family, let the peace of Christ, because you say you're found in Christ, let the peace of Christ rule, blow the whistle, and say, fix the gaze of your soul back on him. I don't know about you, but I can assume that your life is much like mine. Sometimes, you know, it's just like there is turmoil. Some of you have asked me from time to time, how'd your vacation go this summer, and how was it with when you were with your family? I know you were praying for me and for us as a family, my extended family, and you prayed that there would be peace. I can't tell you how thankful I am that you prayed that way. Because while we're all believers, literally all committed to Christ, there hasn't always been peace. And so the Apostle Paul is speaking very practically to me, and I believe to you, when he says, now may the peace of Christ blow the whistle and give you peace. Peace with God. Peace with our, in the midst of our circumstances, and peace as we interact with each other. And then he just adds this at the end, and we'll say more about this in the days ahead. And be thankful. You know, as God brings peace, what can we say? What can you say? But thanks. The next verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And remember, he's saying, let these things happen. Let the peace of Christ rule. Now he says, now let this happen. May it be so that the word of Christ dwells in you richly. The word dwell, of course, means to live in. It means to be at home. May the word of Christ be at home in your life. May the word of Christ be, it's at home in your life to this extent that it's richly at home in you, abundantly, extravagantly. May the word of Christ permeate your thoughts. Does it permeate your thoughts? Does it permeate your decisions? Does it permeate, how does it permeate your actions? How does it, the word of Christ, his words in the Gospels, his word from the beginning to the end. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, was being God. All things came into being by him who is the Word. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. May the Word of Christ, who wants so much for you and me to understand how much he loves us, to understand how much he understands, to understand how much he knows, to understand how much he offers to us. May the word of Christ get a hold of our lives and be so very much at home. And this would affect the way you, and he says, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, And as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. So what's involved with the Word of God richly dwelling in you? What's involved in God's Word? And how's that working for you? Is it literally richly dwelling in us? What are your expectations when you open God's Word? I've got an expectation. I get up at 5 in the morning. I go out, I walk 3 miles, or I walk a couple miles and go to the gym. I come back, I make the coffee, I sit down. I don't know how your day begins, but I'm telling you and I open up my Bible. Well, I open up my Kindle, and I read the Bible on my Kindle. This has been going on for a long time. Sometimes I feel a little bit rushed. Sometimes there's a whole lot of things on my mind, and I've got a list of things I probably should do, and may need to get out of the house pretty soon after breakfast. And sometimes I find that the Word of God is a little less than captivating. Oh, sorry. Is it always just like, wow, I'm just... I'm dog-sitting right now. Our son Dave's dog, he's a needy golden retriever, and he comes up and... So is that how God finds me when I come to His Word? I'm just... No, sometimes I probably need to remember some scripture. And one I prayed a little bit earlier. May the words of my mouth... No, not that. Open my eyes, Lord, that I may behold wonderful things in Your Word. I want to come with expectations that You want me to meet You today in Your Word. Would You make it fresh for me today, Lord? And sometimes I know I'm just like anybody else. Doesn't matter, make any difference what my training has been. Sometimes it could easily just slip into, this is just the routine. This is just what I do every morning. This is just what I do before I turn off the lights at night. But sometimes it's just, I need to say, Lord, would You just help? I want Your Word to dwell in me richly. May I remember whose word it is. It's not Paul's word. It's not Isaiah's word. It's not Moses' word. This is Your word. Help me understand. Come with expectations. Give your best time. If you're going to abide in His word, if it's going to dwell in us richly, we need to give Him the moment of the day, the moments of the day when we are most alert, not when we're just about ready to conk out. Give Him the best that You have to offer. Ask questions. Meditate. Chew on it. Chew on it. Chew on it. Purposefully chew on it. And personalize it. Always personalize it. If this is the way it is, God, if this is the way You are, I need to do something with this. Always. You should walk out of here every Sunday saying, just like I should, I need to. So what? So what am I going to do with this? So what that God cares? So what? Is it making any difference? Go ahead and ask the question and wait on God for answers. But then I don't want any of us to miss this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish each other. What's the word admonish means? It's maybe another way is as you teach and urge each other to pay attention. Urge each other by sharing what God has been teaching you. I'll never forget when a man said to me, and my congregation, if you're new here, I remember never forget when my friend Dave, we were on a little date, our husbands and wives with our spouses, and Dave asked me as he got in the car, so what's God been teaching you lately? And I started mouthing just a whole bunch of religious gibberish. And I realized he wasn't asking me what I was reading in the Bible on a regular basis. He just said, what do you know for certain that God's been teaching you? What's he putting his finger on? This last time, somebody asked me today, actually more than one person asked me today, so how was your time in Minnesota? Marilyn and I raced to Minnesota and back. We left on Tuesday morning very early from LAX. And as we, 5 in the morning at LAX, and it was still just chaos. And we went to Minnesota because on Wednesday, our youth pastor was buried, and we went to his funeral. And a lot of kids from our youth group, John, may you and Daniel, may you never minimize the importance of youth ministry, because Ken changed all of our lives. He never became a pastor as a full-time role after he was a youth pastor. He went on, got his master's of social work. He worked with a number of places, started counseling ministry, a large counseling ministry in the city of Minneapolis. But Ken worked with veterans for the Veterans Administration and working with families that were on dialysis. And it was big time work, and he did that all the way to when he retired. But I shared with our group afterwards, I just said, can we all just go around the room and just share the impact that Ken had on your life? How did you, and I'll tell you this, and this is what I shared with them. There was never a time that I was with Ken that he didn't just share me what was his current address from abiding in God's word. Never. And he wasn't bragging. One of the last times we were all together with Ken was probably 5 years ago. And Ken said, you know, you may not know this, but I had a stroke. I was laying on the ground wondering what was happening to me. And he said, I started thinking, I started praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And Ken stopped at that point and he said, what continued to just roll through my mind was, is God's kingdom all that important to me? Is his will what I'm really after? And he said, there on the ground, I yielded afresh my will to God, no matter what would happen. Because he said, I thought I was on my way out. I just wanted to accept and embrace God's will. Coming from a phrase, folks, a phrase that God has used in countless people's lives to say, is this what you're after? Is it my will? Regardless, in essence, of what your will would want to steam toward, you see, God's peace was overwhelming to him as the Holy Spirit blew the whistle. God's peace said, Ken, here it is. I could never be with Ken when he didn't give me something as fresh as today, as fresh as the moment from God's word. Man, he led me to Christ when I was 13. He broke my leg when I was 14. And he coached me through years of doubt and questions. And he treated me like a brother in Christ into our adult years, always with something fresh. So Paul says, let the word of Christ richly dwell in you so that you have an impact on each other's lives. Is that the kind of relationship you want with God? Take him seriously. Take his word seriously. But don't I like one of my friends said, he said, you know that expression, keep the faith? My friend Gary would say, don't keep the faith. Don't keep the faith. Give it away. Don't keep the faith. Give it away. Not to brag. Never to brag. But always to encourage. Folks, we have an opportunity right here. Get to know each other. Come alongside each other. Listen to each other. And have an impact. Be committed to having an impact on each other as we just honestly share. And it could be with anybody, young or old, and everywhere in between. English speaking or Spanish speaking. Get to know each other and listen. Listen to what God is teaching you. I'm looking around this room and I'm thinking, God is actively involved. He's teaching you. Let's share with each other. Let's teach and admonish and engage in worship together for His glory. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you for blowing the whistle on me many, many, many times. And I pray, Father, for myself and for my brothers and sisters in Christ, that we would, that the word of Christ and the peace of Christ would rule and be very much at home in us. And I pray, Father, all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.